There's another one. It was a great week. It says Daniel 1. It's Daniel 2. Those things happen. But we talked last week about how God was using the Babylonian kingdom, the Chaldeans, to bring judgment on his people. And we saw how God worked through that to bring Daniel into a place of influence. Now, this week we come to chapter 2, and there's a lot here. So we're just going to work through the text real quickly here and then think about a couple of things that go with it. And I'm aware of time and all the things going on today, so just bear it with me and we'll get through that. But as we come to this moment, what we find is that Daniel is more committed about faith, committed to faithfulness than to anything else in his life. He says, I want to live for God. But then we come to a moment, and it's in the second year of this king's life, when he has a dream. You know, sometimes leaders have dreams, don't they? Sometimes leaders have dreams that are off their rocker. Sometimes they have dreams that God gives them. And this is actually, oddly enough, for a pagan, a dream that God gave to this man who did not know him. Now, you may think to yourself, God gives dreams to people who don't know him? Apparently so. Let's jump right into chapter 2, verse 1, where we read this. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Any of you have dreams? I have dreams sometimes. Sometimes I remember them. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes they scare me. Sometimes they don't. He had a dream, but his dream was not a good dream. Why? Because we read in the passage the next part. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. I woke up at 2:40 this morning. My dreams were troubled. My heart was troubled. My spirit was troubled. Praying for not so much today, but for our nation, our land, our country, the world in which we live, the world that we're leaving to our young people, troubles me. But he was troubled. The problem with a guy like Nebuchadnezzar, when he was troubled, he could do something about it. He could stir up trouble if he wanted to. So here's what he did. Look at verse 2. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned, get this, to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to him, I had a dream, and my spirit's troubled to know the dream. He wants to know what the dream means. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, and by the way, this chapter is written in the ancient language called Aramaic, which is kind of related to Hebrew, but it's not exactly. It's one of the few places Aramaic shows up in the Bible. That's a free academic nothing for you this morning. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. Now, y'all get the picture? They say, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means. Y'all with me? The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word for me is firm. I ain't changing my mind. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb. That does not sound pleasant to me. And your houses will be laid in ruins. But if you show me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. Y'all got the picture. He has laid down in front of these magicians and special people, you tell me the dream, and then tell me the interpretation, and you're going to walk out of here with a sack of cash. Y'all with me? Come on down. They answered the second time, and they said, Oh, Lord, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and says, I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to pull. I know with certainty you're trying to gain time. They were filling time, okay? Because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You've agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can show me its interpretation. Y'all with me? Come on down. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, you lost your mind. They didn't say that because he was a despot and he could say, off with their heads, okay? But in their minds, they're thinking, oh, this ain't gonna work. There's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult. You think? And no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, at this point, they've told him what they can do. Oh, by the way, nothing. They don't know the dream. They don't know how to interpret the dream. They don't know what to do. And because of this, the king was ticked off. He was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. Y'all with me so far? Here's what's going on. A difficult dream had been received. Come on down to the next part. There's a difficult delay. There's a delay that they request. Not them, but somebody else. We know the guy because we met him last week. So the decree went out and the wise men were about to be killed and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. He's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the guys that had come with him from the promised land to this land of captivity. Then Daniel replied with not impudence, but prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? What's going on? Apparently Daniel wasn't there. He didn't hear what happened in the court that day. He wants to know the deal. He wants to know the tea, y'all. Okay? Y'all with me? He doesn't understand. Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he could show the interpretation of the king. So at this point, Daniel has said, hold up, give us some time. Give me an appointment. I want to go in and talk to the king. I'm going to share with him what he needs to know. Did Daniel know the interpretation or even the dream at this point? He did not. That's called walking by faith, okay? Then Daniel went to his house and made known the matter to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He says, guys, we're in it deep today. And he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men. Do you see what he tells them to do? Boys, it's time to pray. It's time to talk to God. It's time to seek his face. That's always good advice, by the way. He says, because our time isn't up. We're supposed to be around a little longer. Come on down to verse 19. I told you there's a lot of text here today, but I want to tell the scriptures tell the story today, so follow with me. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Let's just stop there a second. They're in a world of hurt. They're on the chopping block. They're about to be killed. Y'all with me? They said, our solution is what? Run away, run away. No, their solution is what? Go to God. Talk to God. God, what can you do here? What can you show us? How can you help us? What can you move? How will you accomplish this? And in the middle of the night, he woke up. And the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel did something that we don't necessarily catch in the English here too easily, but the Hebrews, the Aramaic's very clear. He blessed the God of heaven. What did he do? He worshiped. You mean he sang songs like us? I guarantee you they were nothing like what we sing. They sounded different, but the audience was the same. The audience of one called God in heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God, my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. So, Daniel goes to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. In haste. You catch that? They're hurrying because people are about to die. And said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, that's his name in the land, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered him and said, no wise man, no enchanter, no magician, no astrologer, not even one of those Chaldeans, can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. Hold up. He just told the king what? You're asking too much. It's a bridge too far. You're asking people to answer your question. You're asking people to give the dream. You're asking people to give the interpretation. You're asking them to do it all. And he says, it can't happen. Verse 28. But, you know, anytime there's a but in Scripture, there's a turning point, okay? Here's the turning point. Y'all with me? But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. Here it is. To you, O king, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. He has said, look, but as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than anybody else, but in order that the interpretation can be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. All right, whole lot there. We could dig into that for weeks. We're not going to. Basically, what he's saying is this. Here it is. Here's the revelation. Here's the word. God has answered. I'm ready to tell you, but it's not me doing it. It's God at work. So we get the real reveal. You ready? Verse 31. You saw, hey king, here's what you saw. Have you had anybody walk up to you and tell you what your dream was before you told him your dream? That's what's going on here. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. Now y'all bear with me because it gets really weird here for a minute, all right? This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was scary. Frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. I told you it was weird. It's a vision from God. God's speaking to him. And as you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all came together and were broken pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Think the dust after a harvest. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. They disappeared. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What's going on here? Some of you are going, I'd like to know what's going on here. He has had a vision, y'all listen, of what's going to come out of his kingdom. God had given him the most powerful kingdom of its day. They were in control of the whole place, but guess what? It wasn't going to last. It was going to fall apart. The gold, the head, was going to be thrown over. There would be silver coming next. There would be clay after that. There would be bronze in the midst of all of that. And there we are. Here's the interpretation. We're going to resolve it. You ready? This was the dream. Now we'll tell the king the interpretation. You're the one. You the man. He held his hand, his life in his hands, y'all. You're the man. O king, the king of kings, whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the might, and the glory, and in those hands, whose hands he's given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you will arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of brass, which will rule over all the earth. And there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it breaks and crushes all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay, partly of iron, and be divided into kingdoms, some in the furnace, you saw iron mixed with the clay. Come on down to the next page. And as you saw the iron mixed with clay, So they will mix with one another in marriage. But it won't last. Just as iron doesn't mix with clay. Now y'all are going deer in headlights this morning. I'm with you. There's a lot there, isn't it? Can I just give you the short version here? The Cliff Notes? Human kingdoms will come. Human kingdoms will rise. People will take power. People will lose power. People and kingdoms will disappear. Other kingdoms will arise after that, and they will disappear. And after that, they will disappear. And after that, they will disappear. If you know anything about ancient history before Christ, this is a summary in vision form. Verse 44, those days, the king of those days, kings, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will not be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to other people. It will break all the other kingdoms and it will stand forever. Y'all are thinking, what is he talking about? He's talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's talking 600 or so years before Christ that in about 600 years, the promised Messiah is going to come, the one who's going to give you new life when you trust him, the one who's going to be buried or crucified on a cross and be buried and raised the third day. He's coming. And just as you saw, the stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand and it broke in pieces, the iron and clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what will be after this. The dream is sure. The interpretation is certain. It will happen. Y'all with me so far? Whew. One more little section here. And then we'll bring it home. You ready? So he has told him all of this. He's told the king, this is your dream. This is what you dream. This is what it means. Here's what happened. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, this is not an elected official of some local government. This is the king of the known world at the time. They had conquered everybody. They won. King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. And the king answered and said to Daniel, truly, y'all with me? Truly what? Your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in highest position, high honors, and he put him in charge of lots of things, which we will see come to play next week as well. Now, a lot there, isn't it? I could have taken 2 hours to do that. Praise Jesus, he didn't. That's what y'all are thinking. I'm okay with that. But I do want you to see three things, and then we'll wrap it up. The first one is this. We've been kind of serious to this point, right? Dirt goes everywhere. Y'all are going, what? Dirt goes everywhere. Have you ever knocked over a houseplant at your house? Have you ever broken a glass in your kitchen? Have you ever dropped something on the floor and it shatters everywhere? And you find what for weeks? Dirt, pieces, mess. You're probably thinking, what does that have to do with Daniel? Well, it has everything to do with Daniel. Why? Because Daniel had no input, no influence, no control over anything that was going on in his land. Hello? I feel like Daniel today, don't you? I don't have any control over what's going on. I'm just one guy. Come November, I get to go in there and put one vote, right? That's all I am. Do you know who's in charge of this land and the election coming up and has always been in charge of every election that's coming up? God is, okay? Last time I checked, my God is still on his throne and he is still in control. That does not exempt us from the dirt that gets on us from the mess in the world in which we live. Y'all with me? There's a lot of junk in this world, if you hadn't noticed. There's a lot of ugliness in this world. If you hadn't noticed, this edict that he gave was so broad that Daniel, who wasn't even in the room when it was given, was ordered to be killed. He had zero control over that. Put another way, wickedness splashes on us when it goes running. And when those moments happen, how do we respond? How do we respond? We get defensive and say, well, I wasn't part of that. I'm not one of those people. I wasn't part of those wizards and sorcerers and Chaldeans and all that. I wasn't one of those guys. I follow the one true God. I hope that's your answer here today. Because if it isn't, that's what you need to get to, okay? But we got to follow him. We can say, oh, that's not about me. Oh, listen, it may not be about you, but it's going to get on you. Or we can choose to seek the good of the kingdom. Well, that's a thought. That's a whole other day's conversation. And what I mean by that is we are, as children of God, living in this world. We are not of this world, but we are supposed to be a positive influence in it. We should be the ones who are leading and guiding and pushing our country in the right directions, not reacting to the people out there, okay? When the dirt hits you, don't jump in there with them. As I like to say, rise above it. Be a child of the King. You've heard it said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, how about us as Christians? And I'm talking to those of us who follow Jesus, okay? How about we, instead of joining the chorus of gripers, whiners, complainers, social media posters, and all that other junk, let's look for the good and bring the good and bring the positive. Our world needs that. And I don't know if anybody else is going to give it. But those of us who know the King. Is it possible we could learn to set the tone instead of reacting to the tone? So at times, dirt goes everywhere. When you're faced with conflict, what do? Stand firm. Stand firm. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is what? Able to keep me against that day. I just messed the whole song up, but that's okay. I hadn't sung it in forever, so that was the best I'd get. Daniel, when things got tough, what did he do? He went over and talked to his friends. Can you believe this is going on? This is terrible. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I can't believe. Who did he talk to? He talked to who? Come on, y'all. He talked to who? God. Why is it God is the last person we talk to instead of the first person we talk to when things get hard? Child of God, you have an instant connection to the King of Kings that is always on. There's no cell service disruption with my God. He's right there listening. Stand firm when faced with a conflict. Run to God. He also talked to who? His trusted allies. He went to his buddies, his brothers in Christ. Not in Christ, but in God at that point in history. He says, let's get together. Maybe God will do something. Did he believe God could do something? He did. Did that mean God had to do something? It did not. But he did go to God. I'm pretty sure Daniel knew the stories of the Old Testament. You know why? That's all they had. And I'm sure he heard the passage from Deuteronomy that says this, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They will come out before you one way and they'll flee away in seven ways. They're not going to win. Because the Lord will bring victory to your life. Stand firm with God. Our enemies will come against us one way and they will be run off by our God another if we'll stand with him. But we have to stay with him. And then finally, one more thought, and I will be done. Hallelujah. Move ahead with godly answers. See, Daniel, when he heard about the dirt that was going to splash all over his life if nothing changed, he went to God. He went to his guys and says, hey, we got to go to the Lord. The Lord answered, gave him he said, here's what we're going to do. Stand firm with God. Give this answer. I'm going to give it to you. And then you got to do something about it. You can't just get the answer and sit on it. You got to do something about it. God rarely answers in a way that a step of faith is not required. He says, here's the answer. What are you going to do with it? Here's the step forward. What are you going to do about it? Here's the direction I have for you. What are you going to do about it? Well, I don't know. Am I supposed to do something? When God speaks, there's always something we are supposed to do. It may be one thing for you and a different thing for somebody else, but we have something we need to respond to God in a way. Consider this. There is no way you can be transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are being baptized today, hear me. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, which is your profession today, then the Holy Spirit of God is living already where? Within you. That doesn't happen in the baptismal tank. That happened at the moment of faith. And that Spirit within you is going to work to convict you, to change you, to transform you, to take you in a whole new direction. But you got to what? Listen to it and then take steps of faith. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God wants to lead you forward from this moment. For some of us, it's not salvation. It's just that step of faith that's next. God has this for me. God has this. God has this. Often we ask God, why don't you show me what to do? I'm convinced that often he isn't going to show us the next step because we haven't taken the last step. We're waiting on him to do something special. And he says, well, I've already told you this, this, and this. And I'm, where are you at? Well, I haven't heard God speak. Child of God, if you're not listening to God's word on a regular basis, you're not going to hear him speak. If you're not connecting with a small group of people on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night or or sometime during the week with other believers to study God's word and talk about it and dig into it, he's not going to speak to you. If you're not spending time on a regular basis on your own, you know, last time I checked, most of y'all are feeding yourselves every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You get to feed yourself spiritually too by getting in his word. Let him speak to you. You say, well, I don't understand it all. First time I got on a bike, I fell down, busted my knee. First time I got on roller skates was the last time. No, it wasn't the last time, but it should have been because I killed myself in that thing. Listen, there are things you don't know because you just, what? Don't know it. You got to get there and learn it. Spend time with him. He'll speak to you. Many of you are going to want to respond this morning. I already know our students are going to be coming forward here in a minute. We're going to encourage you to do that. Maybe some of the rest of you need to make some other type of decision. I would love to pray with you here. We'd love to share with you and rejoice in the step of faith that you need to take next. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.